Well, if you take your Bibles this morning and open them to Luke chapter 2, as we continue to look at the gifts of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, I'm actually going to read verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, thanking You and praising You for this season that we can think about what You've done for us and what You've given to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the peace that He brought. We thank You for the grace that He has given us. Lord, today we thank You for the joy that we are full of because of who You are in us. We thank You, Father, so much for what You've done for us. Lord, You are a good and giving God. You care for Your children. You watch over us. You even sing over us at night while we're sleeping. We thank You for all the amazing things You've done for us. But nothing more amazing than what You did on this night when Jesus came into this world to become our sacrifice. Lord, we thank You for Jesus. We praise You in His name. Amen. Well, if you have your outlines with you, I want you to kind of follow along with me this morning, thinking about this gift of joy. Now, we looked at a couple of other gifts before this, and you can pull them up there, I think, on our... There it is. The first one, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of grace. We receive, through Jesus Christ, something that we don't deserve, right? Aren't you glad you got the grace of God? It's amazing, isn't it, to have the grace of God. Then last week we talked about the gift of life. Jesus said that I have come that you could have life and have it to an overflowing abundance. You see, God has given us not only grace to receive Him and receive forgiveness of our sins, He's also come that we can have life to an overflowing abundance. Not just existence. And we talked about that last week. Today we're looking at gift number 3. And it is joy. Joy unspeakable and overflowing, the Scripture calls it. It is joy that should fill us to the overflowing. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some times I just don't feel that joyful. Right? There's sometimes I kind of get by. I kind of just exist. I kind of just try to make it through a day or whatever else. And I think all of us find ourselves in that place from time to time. But the reason we find ourselves, and the reason I know I find myself in that spot, is because I lose sight of whose I am. You see, I've been bought with a price. Therefore, the Scripture says, I am to glorify Him in this mortal body. I am to be so full of the joy of the Lord that people see a difference. In fact, even the Old Testament prophet Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, not our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants to infuse us by His Holy Spirit, infuse us with His joy. Now, I think, you know, we kind of are in a society today where we like to have things that we can go and buy, supplements or whatever else that we could take to make us joyful. It doesn't work that way. You can't go to the refrigerator and open up a bottle of joy and drink it today. You can't pop something in the microwave and eat it and be joyful. This joy comes from the residency of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we allow then to begin to show Himself in our lives. And there's where the joy comes from. It comes from Him and from Him alone. But first of all, I want us to take a look at how this is written today, because even in the writing of this, and as Luke penned this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see some things about this gift of joy that are amazing. First of all, the angels come, and they come to the shepherds, and they tell them the good news. The subject word here, good news, is eugelizo, which means the announcement of something amazing. Good tidings, great news expressed as a person. So the angels come to these shepherds and they say, listen, we're going to tell you something that's going to blow you away. It is the good news that people have been waiting for years and years and years. It's the good news that God is giving to us tonight, and we are telling it to you. You see, the good news was not just about a birth that was being that was happening that night in Bethlehem, by the way. The good news is the one who was born in Bethlehem. I want you to understand something. This good news is not something about somebody. This good news is that somebody. It's Jesus. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the best news ever. Jesus, the Messiah who has come, who had been promised for ages. People had been looking forward to the day when the Messiah would come. This is the day. And so the angels come and they proclaim the good news that the baby has been born in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. Now, that's the subject of this good news. But it's interesting, the subject people that they come to. They come to the shepherds. Now, they didn't go to Jerusalem, to the kingly quarters. They didn't go to the tabernacle or to the temple that day to announce the news. They went out into the wandering pasture lands, the desert, even the desert areas of southern Israel, to proclaim the good news to a group of people called the shepherds. Now, why there? Why didn't they proclaim it from the tops of the temple steps? Why didn't they proclaim it, you know, all over the other areas? Why did they come to the shepherds? I think this is so awesome. First of all, the shepherds were known as the lowliest people. They were pretty much the bottom rung of society. They were the people who lived out there as Bedouin people, moving wherever the sheep needed to go, that's where they lived. I think some people have said this was a picture from God of saying, anyone can accept the good news. But I think there's something even better than that. I think there's something more amazing than that. And something that brings an incredible amount of joy into my heart and mind when I think about it. Look at what Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13 says. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Why did these angels come to these shepherds instead of going into Jerusalem and speaking to the Pharisees? Why didn't they appear in front of all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and say, tonight, the good news has come? It's interesting, isn't it? Why did they choose these shepherds? These guys were just out there minding their own business, taking care of the sheep. Well, Ooh, this gets good. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. Again, God is saying, I could have gone into the temple, into the priests, into the Pharisees, into the Sadducees. I could have gone there and proclaimed this good news, but those people are not even going to listen to it anyway. But I am going to go to these people who everybody else thinks are the lowliest, and I'm going to share with them the best news ever. I'm going to proclaim it to them first. Now, with that in mind, think about this. Where else would you go but to the shepherds to tell them the Lamb was being born, the Lamb of God? Why was Jesus born in a manger? In a sheep stall. He's the Lamb of God. You see, everything that God does has a reason and a purpose for it. And so on that night, the angels come, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. By the way, that little phraseology there that says the glory of the Lord, that's the Shekinah glory. That's the same glory that appeared before the Israelites in the wilderness and led them in a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of clouds during the day. It was the Shekinah glory of God that shone on top of Mount Sinai, that the people could see God was there when Moses went up into the mountain and received the Ten Commandments and the law of God. This is the glory of the Lord that shone around them. And the Scripture said they were sore afraid. They were terrified. They didn't know what was going on. But they knew it was something amazing. The glory of God came down. The glory of God came down as in this pronouncement that day. But the glory of God also came down in the person of Jesus Christ being born as a human little baby in that manger. That's the good news, folks. I mean, where else would the Lamb of God be born but in a manger? Oh, by the way, do you see the simplicity of this picture that God is also saying? He's also saying, hey, listen, that shepherd boy who was out there minding his own business when God was looking for a leader of Israel, David, taking care of the sheep through the line of David, I will also bring forth Jesus. See, everything God does, He does for a reason. This is the good news, folks. This is the best news ever. And look at what they say. Do not be afraid. We bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to be more joyful than sad, don't you? I like that. I don't always live there, though, do I? Do you? I don't know. But I love to be joyful. I love to have fun. I love to be full of the glory of God in my life. I love that. I want to be there more often. But look at what it says here. It says, we are bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The word great here is the Greek term megasse, which means mega. It's where we get the word mega. If you buy something mega, you know you're getting the biggest, right? The best. You know, all these people that put products out there, if they put mega on it, it means that it's the best one. It's not just good news of joy. It's mega joy. It's good news of mega joy. In other words, what the angels were saying is, this is the greatest news ever. Now, there's never been any greater news than Jesus would come to this world. There never will be any greater news than Jesus came to save the lost, to seek and save the lost. It's the greatest news ever. Now, when we think of the word news, we kind of get in a category in our mind, don't we? When you turn on the news, what do you usually see? You know, it's just like so depressing sometimes. You just can't believe the stuff that's going on in this world, and everybody's downgrading everything else and talking bad about people, and all. You think, where's the good news? It's right here. It's right here. It's the best news ever. And you know what? People need to hear this news. They need to know that God came specifically for the purpose of redeeming the lost to Himself. It is great. It is mega news. It is mega joy. Now, the word joy comes from the Greek term chara, which means favored or extremely glad. But the term here is even deeper. Because magasi is used before it, this Greek term charis is an extension of the root word grace. God is saying, I have given you grace, which was our first gift we talked about. And I'm giving you grace right now through my own Son, Jesus, who's being born in a manger. This is the best thing ever. And this ought to bring you mega joy. It's the announcement of the angels. They're saying mega joy because the grace is now extended, the Scripture says, to all people. That's what the Scripture says. It's not what somebody else says. It's what God says, even through those who come to proclaim the good news to all the people. Now, folks, if you try to make it something else, you're going against God's Word. God is saying, I have come so that everybody can hear the good news. 2 Peter 3:9, we see this Scripture quite a lot, but it's pretty amazing. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, this is the cause for the greatest celebration ever. You know why we can celebrate Christmas like we do? Because it's the cause for the greatest celebration ever. Not just so I can give gifts and get gifts. It's so I can realize what kind of a gift I received from God. I received something I didn't deserve. And Jesus got something He didn't deserve. He paid the ultimate price for my sins. He came and lived a human life and was tempted in all ways, the Scripture says, just like us, yet without sin. How far off track have we gotten when we seem to celebrate everything about Christmas except Christ? You might say, now wait a minute, we always talk about Jesus on Christmas. Okay, that's good, we should, because it is about Him, by the way. But how much effort and time do we put into everything else about Christmas except Christ? We got to go buy gifts for so-and-so. We got to do this. We got to prepare food. We got to put up lights. We got to do all these. We get so carried away in all that stuff. And that's what that video was all about. The video was about the fact it's not about all that stuff. It can become just a habit for us. And Jesus never needs to become a habit. He's the most beautiful, amazing gift ever given to us. And it should bring us mega joy. Mega joy. It should change us from the inside out. The Scripture calls that kind of joy, joy unspeakable. It's a gift that God has given us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says this, though you've not seen Him with your physical eyes yet, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled, look at what it says, with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Have you forgotten what it was like to be saved? Some of you maybe were saved as a very young child, and it's been so long ago you hardly remember the actual point of salvation. But I can tell you something, folks. I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus. And He forgave me, and He cleansed me, and He made me His own child. And there's never been a happier time in my life than to know that I'm His child. But you know what? The longer you live, the easier it is to get over that. We can never lose the joy of our salvation. In fact, David in Psalm 51 cried out to God and he says, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I think that'd be a good prayer for all of us during this Christmas time. O God, restore unto us the joy of our salvation. You see, it is our faith that causes us great joy, mega joy. We believe even though we cannot see. We've not physically seen Jesus yet. But we've seen Him with our heart. We've seen Him through the Word. We've seen Him through the changes He makes. We've seen Him in multiple ways. But we are seeing, as Paul says, through a glass. We can't quite see everything yet, but someday we will see face to face. Look at what John chapter 20, verse 29 says. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you believe, but blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believe. God has brought us an unspeakable mega gift. Now it's interesting how this goes on to say that the shepherds, when they came, And they proclaimed this. They said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Now, why would they tell them that? Well, first of all, they're out there minding their own business, and then all of a sudden they're surrounded by the glory of God, and they see a multitude of angels praising God. I mean, this is kind of not normal for shepherds out in the middle of a dark field. And they could be a little bit taken back or terrified, as the Scripture calls them. The Greek term here is phobeo. It means to run in panic, to be seized by alarm or paralyzed, to be worried or anxious. We get the word phobia from this. Now, these guys, like I said, were just out there, probably sitting around a campfire, telling a few shepherd stories. Some of them were probably keeping an eye out on the sheep that night. But here comes this amazing act of God. And they were afraid. They were terrified. They'd never seen anything like this before. They didn't know what was going on. I mean, this was like instantaneous. What's going on? And surely some of them jumped up and started running because they didn't know what was going on. But when you stop and think about what it's saying, it says they are seized or paralyzed by anxiousness. Have you ever felt like that? You become so anxious, it keeps you from doing what you know you ought to be able to do. It's panic. It's seizing up. It's stopping from doing what you know you should do. Have you ever felt that way? When God puts it on your heart to share the good news with somebody, it's the same thing. I've got the greatest news ever being told to me, and I received that good news, but now I'm having a difficult time getting it out of my mouth to tell somebody else. You know, Christmas seems to bring so much worry when in fact it should bring so much joy when we get our eyes on the right thing. You know, people sit around worrying about, oh man, what am I going to get Uncle Harry and Aunt Sue, and what are they going to get the grandkids, and what are we going to do this, and where are we going to go, and how, you know, we're going to get enough food for the table, and all. We worry about so much stuff, but it's all stuff. Look at what Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7 says. Rejoice, that means be full of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul says, let me say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord's near. Do not be anxious about anything. You know what the number one joy killer is in your life? Other than the mother-in-law? I can't believe you said that, Scott. You know, that's on tape now, so I shouldn't have pointed you. The number one joy killer is anxiousness, worry, stress. It saps the joy right out of you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, put it back on Him, because He's your Father and He can take care of it, can't He? Yes, He can. Okay. That's the right answer. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, will then guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, as Jesus was speaking to the people during the Sermon on the Mount, He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, your clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what should I eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For the pagans run around after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus said, listen, folks, our focus is always on the wrong thing. And that's why we worry. And that's why we stress. And that's why we're anxious. And we all do it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. You see, the greatest news is this. He has come so that we could have life and be filled with His joy, so that it makes a difference in this world, so that people could see that if you're a Christian, you're not just some old codger that walks around with a frown on their face. You're full of His joy. Wouldn't you like to exchange your worry and your anxiousness and your phobias for the joy of Jesus? I would. Well, this is a gift that God has given us. And it began when Jesus came for us. You see, the joy is Jesus. Think about the picture in Bethlehem. In lowly Bethlehem, a town that wasn't known for anything, in a lowly manger, in a lowly stall, with lowly people from Nazareth, and lowly shepherds, Jesus comes. You know what that tells me? He cares about everybody. He cares about you. And He cares about me. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I wanted to put it up today in the New Living Translation, just because it's got a couple of interesting twists to it. It says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set us before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that awaited Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now He is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne." You know, I think about that very passage many times because it says that because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. See, even with the thought of the cross on His mind, Jesus could be joyful because He knew what the end was going to bring. And you know what the end is bringing? You, if you know Him. He is so happy and full of joy that you are willing to accept Him as Savior and Lord. You've received the greatest gift ever if you receive Jesus. A gift is only a gift if it's received. Somebody told me this a long time ago. What would it be like if you went to, you know, your Christmas celebration and there were all kinds of gifts underneath the tree? And each gift had a different name on it. But the biggest gift under the tree had your name on it. When it came time to open gifts, everybody opened their gifts. But you looked at that gift and walked away. Still be your gift. It's got your name on it. It was bought for you. Somebody wanted to give it to you. But you know what? You have to receive it. Jesus gave you the greatest gift ever. Himself. His sacrifice on the cross. This little sheep, the Lamb, as John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus came and was born in a manger. The Lamb of God lived a perfect sinless life, was tempted in every way like us, yet without sin, and then became the ultimate sacrifice on the cross so that He could pay our sin debt by His perfect blood. And He says to you, "Here I am. Will you receive Me?" He's the gift. Will you receive Him? Or will you walk away? Your name's still on the package. It's never too late until you pass away. Have you received the greatest gift ever given? The mega news is the great joy that shall be for all the people, the Scripture says. All the people, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. He has come so that you can, all the people can know that Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is the joy of Christmas. Have you received that gift? Not just the feeling of joy. Have you received Jesus, who is joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, I come to You this morning and I praise You and thank You for this beautiful gift of Jesus. The gift of joy. It's obvious, Lord, quite obvious when we know You because we're filled with the joy of Jesus. And when we're walking in You, we are filled with the joy of Jesus. But when we're not walking in You, we are filled with our own passions and desires and selfishness. Lord, help us, if we know You, to walk in the joy of Jesus. Filled with Your joy to overflowing so that it flows out to other people, as Jesus said, like living water that overflows into the lives of others. Lord, there might be someone here today who's not trusted You yet as their personal Lord and Savior. And there would never be a greater time than during this Christmas season to receive the greatest gift ever, the gift of Jesus.